Shenanigans, truth, lies, shenanigans.
Welcome to the Truth, Lies, Shenanigans podcast. My co-hosts today are the lovely Gianni Storm and our resident nature lover, Robbie.
What's up, everyone?
Hey, everybody.
All right, before we get into this debate on global warming today, I gotta ask, have you guys ever been in a storm or weather event that just truly scares you?
Never. You know, but actually, I think weather and certain natural disasters is what's hindering me from moving to like California.
Really?
Or, yeah, to be honest, certain parts of the United States because of that type of fear. But the most extreme weather I've been in was a blizzard in Rhode Island. And I was really little, but it wasn't scary. It was fun. So you can't relate.
I can imagine it being fun.
Yeah.
Most of the blizzards I've been in were fun, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can say firsthand that I have been on the roadways during a major blizzard.
Yeah.
When the plows haven't had an opportunity to go through. And it was at night. So it was absolutely scary because when you have an idea of where the road is, but you're also hydroplaning, you're trying to keep all of your momentum up because you know that if you stop, you're just going to sit on a block of snow.
Yeah.
That's
freeze.
Scary.
Yeah. That is scary.
Absolutely scary. Yeah. Ice storms. I've had the misfortune of being caught in ice storms on the road, and that's scary.
That is scary. I've done that.
What is that? Like hail?
Ice storm? No.
Like freezing rain. Like basically the rain is coming down. Water freezes at what, 32?
Yeah.
So it comes down and it gets
zero.
Frozen?
At zero.
water freezes at zero. That just makes more sense. Then the rain is coming down at that freezing point and it just washes everything over with glare ice. That is a scary mess for pedestrians.
Drivers.
No, I've gotten caught in that. Yeah, because I remember I went down in D.C. And we get a lot of freezing rain in D.C. just because we're on that borderline between cold and warm. So we get a lot of freezing rain. So I was on the road. I ended up going what I thought was going to be a shortcut. And I knew it just started freezing rain. And so I went down the hill thinking that I could get away. But then people had already crashed into each other. The only way out was to go back up the hill.
Oh,
and I tried
goodness.
It. And then I'm sliding. I'm like, oh, no. We're going to park right here.
We're going to keep it.
And we're going to walk. We ended up getting a hotel room.
Okay. Smart. Safe.
Freezing
rain. Scary, guys.
That's no joke.
No.
The scariest one I've ever been in was you know what a derecho is?
No.
Yeah. I didn't know either until I was in one. So basically, it was summertime and just started raining a little bit. And all of a sudden, the winds are just whipping by like crazy, pushing you back. It was hurricane level winds.
Like a tornado.
And I was like, stuff was flying by like a tornado. And it wasn't a tornado. It was called a derecho. It was something I learned about in that moment as I was caught. I was out on a date.
And
we had to go run into some building.
You were on a date?
Things were flying by. We're like, okay, this is ridiculous. And yeah. Jumped into a little pizza place on the side and we're like, anyway, all right.
Doing something cute, flying a kite.
That's now interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Derecho. So look it up. It's a crazy, crazy storm. All right. So let's get into this topic. We're talking about global warming, and this global warming debate gets heated. See what I did there?
Yes.
See what I did there?
Uh-huh.
So is it real? Is it not real? No, it's been proven. It's real. So let's put that off the table. We understand global warming is real. But here's what's been bothering me. I've been wondering, what's so bad about global warming? Like when you think about it, you know, greenhouse gases and global warming is exactly how you'd kickstart life on a barren rock like Mars. And you got those atmospheric rivers that are hitting California. They're causing those mudslides for all those rich people who decided to build their houses in the side of a cliff. I get that. But over time, those constant rains are going to create a lush environment in basically a desert. California, for the most part, is a desert environment. Polar bears, the penguins, we're probably saying bye to them, right? It sucks.
Sad.
It sucks, right? But let's not forget that life on Earth thrives in warmth. So more heat could pave the way for a whole bunch of new species to emerge and thrive. So I'm going to lay it out there. I think climate change is actually a good thing for the planet. So is this truth, lies, shenanigans? I'm going to start with Gianni Storm because I know Robbie has some thoughts on this.
I think this is shenanigans.
Okay, you're on the fence.
Neo?
Already.
Yes, I'm on the fence. You make a good point when you say a warmer Earth overall does produce new species. It probably does produce more food, but when it's too hot, it'll dry it out. Like, that's why we have the fires and the droughts and such things like that. And when you said some new species, I'm like,
Rob is happy in the background.
I'm just smiling.
Rob's like, he's making my point. Smile and wave. No, but I think that the new species coming in will be like new bugs. There's not going to be a new mammal that forms unless it's like through the evolution of time. Like, I don't think I would mm-hmm. like, you know, the effects of global warming. But I do agree to that point, though, Neo, that we can start looking at the good things that come from it and maybe using that towards the action to maybe prevent. Well, we're not going to prevent it. It's coming, guys. But maybe utilize some of like the new concepts to kind of like mitigate it.
You make a good point on the bugs. But again, when we're talking about the planet, it's not necessarily a bad thing because bugs mm-hmm. are food for other species. You know, we get a more biodiverse.
More pests.
Mm-hmm. Well, pests to us.
And they're plants. Pests.
Actually, there's more carbon dioxide in the air, which is food for plants.
Providing it's an environment in which we can survive.
Well, okay. Who cares about us? I mean, the planet, we're killing the planet anyway, right? So the planet's basically giving.
Making my points. Keep making my points.
So go ahead.
I'm going to rest my voice.
Go ahead, Rob.
My gosh.
But like Gianni was saying, like once the polar ice caps are gone, because the oceans are getting warmer, that's measurable. Larger chunks are breaking off. So once that ice is gone and the water has risen to its level, the climate is just going to be warmer and more humid for a period of time. But then we're going to burn off that water. We're going to propel ourselves towards a Mars type of environment just by burning off that water. And this is over a long period of time. But
no, I don't know if that's true.
It was a reset that Mother Nature is going to do. Because if the dominant species is no longer able to live in its environment because of the damage it has done, that's
the Earth will die.
Reset balance. No, the Earth won't die. The human race might die off, but the Earth will be fine after, I don't know, depending on the damage we do, 10, 15,000 years. It'll be
so the Earth doesn't need people, is what you're saying?
Oh, God, no.
Hell no.
we're a parasite. Look at what we do to the planet, Johnny. Our numbers have increased to such unbelievable proportions that we do nothing.
I disagree. I think that, yes, we exploit the Earth. Mother Earth is like, if Mother Earth was a person, that she would be like, but I feel like we do a lot to exploit it. But if we didn't utilize the resources of the Earth, I know I sound crazy, but if we don't utilize the resources of the Earth, Earth would just be
replenish.
Like, I don't know. I feel like we kind of need that offset of give and take with the Earth. We're taking a little bit too much, but I'm just saying, I think the Earth needs us too.
Let me give you an analogy, Johnny. If you leave an ant colony in a tree for long enough, what's going to happen to that tree? It's going to become, you're going to remove all of the resources that it needs to be a thriving, living ecosystem. It's going to die off. If the human race grows to that point, there's a lot of damage that we can do that can really harm things for tens of thousands of years, potentially. But eventually, as long as we don't split the rock, then the Earth is going to be fine.
I think termites would have made your point better, Rob, but I get what you're saying.
So we're the termites of the Earth.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Fair. The loss of biodiversity has deep impact because if we lose one species of insect, one species of frogs, that is a staple food for the food chain. then it impacts everything about the earth, Johnny. And then what we're doing is we're killing off the entire species.
Yeah.
Increased health risks to humans. The dust storms that we were seeing in the U.S. With the cattle farmers.
Oh, yeah. Like
these new, there's like a new type of spore that's able to survive in these dust storms that's causing respiratory problems. So
that's true.
These are the types of things that we're absolutely doing. And
all right, I'm going to challenge you on a couple of things. So first, using the Mars analogy, next, the Earth would not turn into a dust rock like Mars. That's just not accurate because there's more water on the Earth than there is land. So in actuality, with more greenhouse gases, there would be more humidity, more actual water steaming up within the air.
So a flooded Earth. So
In essence, a flooded Earth. Well, you know, your polar ice cap is going to make the water levels rise, right? Because they're going to melt. And then with the greenhouse gases, what it does is it creates more of an atmosphere holding in the water, steam. Mm-hmm. So now the water is going to be rising into the air and it's going to be circulating throughout the earth. So the whole burning off is not accurate. It's not going to burn off. It's just going to spread the water around and increase volatility.
Exactly. So most of the earth's water is salt water, correct?
Right. And it's going to become fresh water.
So no, what? So if you have more one solution and you mix it with another solution in a smaller concentration, what's going to become of that smaller concentration, right? It gets absorbed. So what I agree, Neo, you're right. We're going to see more water in the atmosphere, but we're going to see fresh water deposits get salinated. And we're going to see a lot of plant diversity die off.
Because if the atmosphere is
water, pets aren't going to die off.
Ocean water is rising into freshwater systems, therefore increasing the salinity of the freshwater. When you increase the salinity of the freshwater, you kill off entire species of plants. It becomes barren. It becomes unsustainable because the salt goes through the cell membrane that's just not prepared for it. So now if you add this to our rainfall, there are definitely some plant species that are accustomed to seawater. There are other plant species that are absolutely not accustomed to it and don't do well with it.
They'll die immediately.
You're missing out the point of increased rainfall.
If you're getting salty rainfall, then
you
that's
can't get salty rainfall. What are you talking about?
That's what he's saying. explain.
How do you get salty rainfall?
if that's all that you have to draw from.
What are you talking about? Why would that be all you have to draw for? You're getting rainfall, which is fresh water. So it's a significantly increased amount of fresh water because it's in the atmosphere and it's raining more. So, I mean, they're going to be lakes. There's going to be rivers and rivers are going to get larger. I mean, yeah, the concentration of salination is going to increase in the oceans. Well, not necessarily because a lot of the fresh water.
The ground, but no, you're right. I checked it. I'm out to lunch on salt rain.
I'm like, saltwater rain? Where does this come
from? It's just going to be a lot of rain in general, whether it's
going to be a lot of rain. It's going to be violent. So I get that. But again, more fresh water. And we're going to challenge you on biodiversity. Yes, again, we're going to lose those cold weather animals, potentially, like the polar bears and the penguins.
A lot more than that. Birds. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot.
Yes, it's going to be a lot.
Neil's like, whatever. Who cares about the crows?
We've lost species of worms. Crumbs, but
More warmth and more water within the atmosphere leads to more life and more diverse life. If you compare the Amazon.
What's an example of that?
If you compare the Amazon, which is basically what you would be creating, the Amazon type environments, ecosystems will expand where ecosystems like Canada, Alaska will now turn into more temperate environment. So I'm just saying there would be more biodiversity as greenhouse gases.
So that movie Avatar is like foreshadowing what the earth is going to be like, this big, huge, like the trees are going to be 500 feet tall, and the humans are now. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, potentially,
but that's kind of what you're describing.
It's just going to be less cold areas on the planet, or there's going to be more temperate areas on the planet. Matter of fact, it's going to be more available land. I mean, if you think Antarctica Antarctica is probably never going to be like super hot, but
no,
it may become warm enough to actually populate. So
like New Zealand or something, or mm-hmm. Greenland.
Yeah. And we'll actually be able to see land, because of course all the ice is melting off. I'm not saying that that's necessarily a good thing, especially for humanity and certain species.
Animals.
That's a bad thing for certain species. But overall for the planet, it's a good thing. Like I said, it's exactly what we would need to do if we were trying to terraform Mars, is we would have to create a lot of greenhouse gases, improve the atmosphere, make water circulate through the atmosphere, fresh water, because right now Mars is nothing but ice, right? So, or the water is ice right now. So if we could terraform, then the water would come up to the atmosphere, life would thrive. So I'm just saying there are some benefits to global warming
for the
Earth. For the Earth,
exactly. Right. Starship Earth will benefit from it. Whereas the human race, well, I mean, you're just, we're going to be another part of the fossil record. We're going to be an
interesting
part
of
the fossil record for any other species that comes to the planet.
We don't deserve this planet.
No.
Speak for yourself.
No.
I take very good.
We deserve this planet. The way we've treated.
We're a species that lives in excess, has no control.
We do. We do.
It's been on the wall for decades. And people still want what's theirs, what they feel entitled to, regardless of the cost or the impact down the road, because it's during my lifetime, it's not a big deal. And that is overwhelming mindset, unfortunately, that's going to lead to the desolation of humanity through climate change.
Oh, yeah.
Over time, there's going to be a lot of brilliant innovation throughout that time, because we're a cunning species and we have this primordial
like water fuel
to survive. Anything,
or
Johnny.
It's fuel.
Hydro power generation. There's going to be a lot of technologies developed to try to mitigate the water, to try to control the water flow. But at the end of the day, Mother Earth always wins. Mother Earth always wins.
Oh,
and
yeah.
when we just push that reset button just a little bit too far and it actually initiates, we're done within a matter of generations. It's going to be quick. And the Earth will have a recovery period through which any species that did survive will then be prone to speciation. We'll have another biodiversity and a dominant species that will emerge from that.
Do you think that that's happening now, or it's still to come, like for a while?
Well, it's still to come, but, you know, 2 minutes to midnight, they keep moving that needle closer and closer and closer to midnight.
Yeah, I was online looking at the Spectator website, and there's an article by Matt Ridley called Why Climate Change is Good for the World. He says, don't panic. The scientific consensus is that warmer temperatures do more good than harm. Analysis suggests the overall effects of climate change could remain positive until around 2080. And then that's when things start to go the other direction and be more negative, especially for humanity. But I don't know. You mentioned the technology. Now, over time, I mean, humans will work to resolve these problems as they become problems. I don't know that we'll die out. I don't think the Earth is going to become so volatile so quickly that humanity will just die out. It will be very hard for some of us to survive in many of those environments. The hurricanes will increase the volatility. We won't be able to live on the coastal lines as we once did. It's going to change how we live.
Adaptation.
We've got AI, robotics. I think we've got all these things happening that can solve ultimately a lot of these problems. We'll continue to figure things out in a hot environment, because there's nothing that suggests that the world or the planet will be destroyed as we increase greenhouse gases. I mean, we can increase
severe weather,
but the planet itself will not be destroyed. Humanity may be destroyed.
Or, yeah, they never said that.
And many species will be killed off, but there's nothing to suggest that the planet will be irreparable, will be damaged to an irreparable state. There's just nothing to suggest that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there something where there something is burnt? Our sun is burning through.
Oh, that's the ozone.
Yeah, the ozone layer.
Thank you, Rob. And so it's burning through the ozone layer. Wouldn't that mean that the Earth is not repairable because you can't rebuild the ozone layer?
The ozone layer is no longer a major issue anymore. We were pumping what's called fluorofluorocarbons into the air with the aerosol sprays that we were using.
Yeah.
And so we were destroying the ozone layer. But the ozone layer has actually healed over time. So that's not a major issue as it once was. Even the ozone layer being as it was, it would have killed humans and it would have killed a lot of species. But again, I really feel like in time, Earth would have healed from us.
I mean, so we're the problem again.
No question, we're the problem. There is no question.
We're the rash. We are the cancer, Johnny. Yeah. Absolutely. If you were to compare with humanity,
so why is there an Earth?
To its host, why is there an Earth?
This is a deeper. I'm not saying that the Earth belongs to humans, but I'm saying, hear me out. Here's my point.
I know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, like Earth and humans are kind of like, we benefit from each other. So I think even though we're the rash, we can also be the Noxzema cream. Like we can be the solution to things and we can actually help the Earth thrive.
To Gianni's point, if we want to believe in natural selection, if we want to believe in evolution, then Earth created us, which means possibly that we were a good thing for the planet is what I think she's trying to say. That humanity is good for the planet because Earth created us. If we were to believe that we started from the amoeba to humans, to another point, I mean, not every child turns out great.
That's true.
My body can birth a cancer cell, and that cancer cell is no good for me.
Oh my gosh.
So if we're following your analogy, let's see it all the way through.
Yep.
That's a good point, Rob.
Yeah. A really, really bad rash, a bad irritation for the planet. As things continue to change, it becomes a less habitable climate for our species. If we have the violent storms and we have more rainfall, then some of our crops are not going to be sustainable at all. So we're going to see an oversimplification of the diet because we're not going to have as many animals.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot changes, part and parcel of everything. And when it changes quickly,
but there'll be more other animals.
We have to start eating crickets.
No. We have to start eating crickets.
There's going to be a lot more.
There will be a lot more crickets. There are a lot more bugs to start eating.
Mosquitoes.
It's a supply and demand. Because eventually
it's going to be a horrible earth to live on. The mosquitoes are going to be the size of us.
I think I'm less worried about global warming than I am about just general sprawl. As we spread out, we are dumping chemicals into our water supplies. Sanitation becomes a bigger issue the more people that we have on the earth. Resources, of course, we're not going to be able to make as much food. We already see what's happening to animals and the way we adulterate our food sources.
Yeah. Countries that formerly accepted waste and garbage from North America have closed their borders.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Plastics, I think, are probably a bigger issue.
Everywhere. Yep.
Although I will say plastics are a derivative of oil.
The petroleum products. Yeah.
Petroleum. So it's a derivative.
Like they break down to oil?
No. The opposite. It's a byproduct of processing oil for gas and other stuff. So
I see.
I think in time, I wouldn't be surprised if they become a fuel source. I think technology will.
I agree.
And from biodiversity, we've seen some microbacteria that in waste management sites, they're eating nylon and they're starting to develop bacteria.
What the hell?
To specifically eat plastic. So these brilliant innovations are absolutely there, Neo. But with the climate change, if it goes at a hurried pace, economically, the system's going to break. The system's going to break economically.
It'd be hard to keep up.
You think of houses in floodplains when people lose their entire way of life, they lose all of their holdings. The system that we currently have to compensate you for it is going to become absolutely meaningless because the money's going to mean nothing if there is no place to go.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, the truth is, global warming is happening way faster than expected. I don't know if that 2080 deadline holds up or not, right?
That's just a number.
Mm-hmm. At the speed that we are changing the climate on Earth, it just should not happen within a single lifetime where we've seen the shift from global temperatures to what they are now. It's very atypical for the planet. You're right. It would become harder, Rob, to keep up. So even if we do have technological advances, are there going to be enough to allow human... Right, exactly. We're not ready. So with that said, let's see if I was able to change your mind. Climate change is actually a good thing for the planet. Is this truth, lies, shenanigans? Did I change your minds at all?
You didn't change my mind, Neo. I think you brought great points, but it's still shenanigans to me. Still on the fence.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Rob, did I change your mind?
Oh, for the planet, yeah, I 100% acknowledge that global warming is a good thing. For humanity, not so much. But for the planet, we're not the first species to dominate the planet.
So truth, lies, shenanigans.
Truth.
Oh, my man.
Wow. So
I guess it's the kicker was for the planet. So
for the planet, absolutely.
That's it. So, yeah, okay. Of course, it's truth for me. I think it actually is good for the planet, just for biodiversity and improvements for the planet. Terrible for humanity.
Terrible. And
I agree with everything Rob said, that humanity is a plight on this earth. I want to make that very clear. And anybody who says that global warming is not real are idiots.
Yeah.
I should have opened with that as a disclaimer.
All right. That's it for this episode. I want you to go to Pods Network, PODZnetwork.com. Let us know what you thought about this episode. Do you believe that climate change is a good thing for our planet, even if it means extinction of the human race? Before you go, hit that subscribe button. And I thank our co-hosts, Rob B., Gianni Storm, and of course, thank you for listening to our shenanigans. We'll see you next week.